Yes, we are celebrating the 25th Sunday in Ordinary Time, and we just, as a reminder to those of you who are visiting us from all over the world, welcome. And those of you who are here, keep in mind that the ushers will help direct you whenever there is a need for you to move around. But otherwise, we like you to stay seated, and you're welcome to hum along with us as we open today's celebration with Come, Let Us Worship the King. Please rise.
Worship the King. Oh, 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 come let us worship the King. For He is good, for He is good. Come, let's worship the King. Come, let's worship the King. Oh, 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 come let us worship the King.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus, the love of God, communion in the Holy Spirit be with you.
And with your spirit.
What a blessing that we can gather on this beautiful day. The Weather Committee gets a raise today. It's such a good job. We are going to be mindful that God's ways are not our ways in our scripture reading today. And one of God's ways is to call people to Himself. We are joining together with those who had losses this week. As they say, they always come in threes. So we're going to remember today in our prayer the Ellis family. We're going to have the funeral for Mr. Ellis on Friday, Brother James, who used to sit right there, is going to be buried on Thursday. And then Michi lost her father. So we have these big losses that are going to be part of the story of our community today. But God's mercy and goodness are always there, even when we don't understand what's happening. So let's ask today that we can be filled with that divine grace that we need, that divine mercy which we require. Lord Jesus, you came to reconcile us to one another and to the Father. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord Jesus, you heal the wounds of sin and division. Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord Jesus, you bring light to those in darkness. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
May Almighty God have mercy, forgive our sin, bring us to everlasting life.
To God in the highest, glory, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to people of goodwill. We praise you, we bless you, we adore you, we glorify you. Son, Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, you take away the sins of the world, have mercy on us. You take away the sins of the world, receive our prayer. You are seated at the right hand of the Father. Have mercy on us. Glory, glory to God in the highest. Glory, glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace to people of goodwill. For you alone are the Holy One.
And let us pray that God's grace and mercy will fill us this day. Let us pray that Jesus, our brother, will show us the ways of God in the world. And let us pray that that Holy Spirit of God will fill us with wisdom and fortitude. O God, you founded all the commands of your sacred law upon love. Love of you and love of our neighbor. Grant that by keeping your precepts, we may merit to attain eternal life. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God,
A reading from the book of Isaiah. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call him while he is near. Let the scoundrel forsake his way, and the wicked his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord for mercy, to our God who is generous and forgiving. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways my ways, says the Lord. As high as heaven is from earth, so high are my ways above your ways, and my thoughts above your thoughts. The word of the Lord.
I will praise your name forever, my King and my God.
I will praise your name forever, my King and my God.
I will extol you, my God and my King. I will bless your name forever. Every day I will bless you, Lord. I'll praise your holy name.
I will praise your name forever, my King and my God. I will praise your name forever, my King and my God.
The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness. Every day I will bless you, Lord. I'll praise your holy name.
I will praise your name forever, my King and my God. I will praise your name forever, my King.
Shall praise you, your saints shall bless you. My mouth shall speak your praise, I'll praise your holy name.
I will praise your name forever, my King and my God. I will praise your name forever, my King.
A letter from Paul to the Philippians. Brothers and sisters, Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, life is Christ and death is gain. If I go on living in the flesh, this means fruitful labor for me. And I do not know which one I shall choose. I am caught between the two. I long to depart this life to be with Christ, for that is far better. Yet I remain in the flesh is more necessary for your benefit. Only conduct yourselves in a way worthy of the gospel of Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our reading is from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out at dawn to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with them for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. Going out about 9 o'clock, the landowner saw others standing idle in the marketplace. He said to them, "You too go into my vineyard. I will give you what is just." So they went off. He went out again around noon and around 3 o'clock and did likewise. Going out about 5 o'clock, the landowner found others standing around, and he said to them, "Why do you stand here idle all day?" They answered, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You too, go into my vineyard." When it was evening, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Summon the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and ending with the first." When those who had started about 5 o'clock came, they received the usual daily wage. When the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also got the usual daily wage. On receiving it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, "These last ones worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us, who bore the day's burden and the heat." He said to one of them in reply, "My friend, I am not cheating you. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what is yours and go. What if I wish to give this last one the same as you? Am I not free to do as I wish with my own money? Are you envious because I am generous? Thus the last shall be first, and the first will be last." The Gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. We'll have to unmute.
I don't know if this sounds familiar in your house, but in my house, Picture Halloween. You come in with your swag. Bags of candy. And your mother looks at you and she says, well, why don't you share that with your sister? And I answer, well, no, this is mine. This is my candy. Child psychologists have investigated this phenomenon, and what they have found is that that idea does not come from selfishness or from greed. It comes from a sense of fairness. This is mine because I did the work of going out to get it. I did the labor of going door to door to get the candy. As a matter of fact, in another test, the psychologist gave three-year-olds, little kids, four pieces of candy and one piece of candy. And almost inevitably, the one who had the four would share what they had. Fairness. It was a very important value in children. And this is something that we, I think, have woven into our life, into our culture, into our idea about how the world should be. The world should be fair. And if you think about it, aren't most of the issues that we're dealing with, most of the troubles that are part of our society, there because things are unfair? It's not fair that this school should have the latest technology and the newest facilities and the best educated teacher, while that school has to scrounge for resources, is in a pre-war building, and this is a pre-World War building, not a pre-war on terrorism building, and that their teachers are not as well prepared. It's not fair that women should not get paid equally to men for doing the same work. It's not fair that black men in America are 2.5 times more likely to be killed by police than their white counterparts, including the fact that the white counterparts are twice as likely to be armed as the black men are. It's not fair that because you have a job in this place, you have health insurance, but if you have a job in that place, you don't have health insurance. So I think a lot of the things that we think about to make our world a better place, to make our country a more perfect union, comes when we say, if things were just more fair, it would be better. But that leads to the parable Jesus tells us today. We usually call this parable the workers in the vineyard. And if you look at this parable, it doesn't seem very fair. I mean, if you look at it, that equal pay equals equal work is the ideal of fairness, well, that is blatantly not happening in this parable. Is Jesus not in favor of fairness? What's going on in this parable? I think to understand it, we have to remember that to look at the parables, we have to see them the way that Jesus saw them. And so often, I think we misinterpret parables because we don't look at them from the perspective of Jesus. Just think, for example, of the prodigal son, right? The parable of the prodigal son. Well, when Jesus talked about that parable, he said, a man had two sons. If we're going to interpret that parable correctly, we have to take both sons into account. Or the parable we call the pearl of great price. Well, Jesus calls that parable, a merchant went searching for fine pearls. If we want to interpret that parable, we have to talk about the merchant searching, not the pearl. And so this parable, how does Jesus begin this parable? He says, a landowner went out at dawn to hire workers. So this is where Jesus wants us to put our attention. He wants us to put our attention on the landowner. What does the landowner do? The landowner hires workers for the usual daily wage. He continues to hire them throughout the day, saying, I will give you what is fair. He pays all of the workers, those who worked the whole day and those who only worked an hour, the same daily wage. He gives to even the Johnny-come-latelys a living wage, not what they earn, but what they would need to survive with their family. He justifies what he's doing by saying, isn't it good to be generous? And he answers the complainers by asking them to put themselves in the shoes of their co-workers. Wouldn't you rather have a daily wage? So, to interpret this parable as Jesus presented it, and he presents it as the image of the kingdom of God, right? Isn't that what starts it off? The kingdom of God is like? To interpret this parable, we have to say that the kingdom is God, the kingdom of God is not so much about fairness, about even-handedness, about equality. The kingdom of God is about generosity, about kindness, about goodness. So that asks us to reflect then, what kind of God would we prefer? Would we prefer a God who is fair, or would we prefer a God who is generous? If God is fair, then the way we get God's love is by keeping the commandments and stopping at red lights and petting the dogs and helping little old ladies cross the street. But if God is generous, then God showers love upon us, calls us precious in his sight, names us as beloved before we do anything. We're loved by God not because we are good, but because God is good. If God is fair, then as long as we toe the line, as we do what we're supposed to, we'll have God's love with us. Oh, you blew it, buddy. I'm writing you out. But if God is generous, then no matter what we do, no matter how many times we mess up, God will continue to welcome us back. God will continue to take us home. If God is fair, then the way to get to heaven is to get baptized and to go to church on Sunday, say your prayers, and pay your tithe. That's most important. But if God is generous, then all God's children are welcome into heaven. Catholic and Protestant, Jew and Gentile, Muslim and Buddhist are all somehow or other included in Jesus' redemptive love. I'm reminded of the story of Mary, who died and met St. Peter in heaven, and he said to her, welcome into paradise. Would you like to see the heavenly mansions? And she was very excited about the tour, so St. Peter took her around, and they went by one mansion, and it was organ music playing and people singing, and St. Peter said, well, that's the Methodists. They're going to have cookies later if you want to come there. And they go a little farther, and there's drums playing and people shouting and foot stomping and a joyful noise being made. And St. Peter says, well, that's the Pentecostals. And then they go to the next mansion, and Peter says, be quiet, let's tiptoe past here. So they go tiptoeing past, and he says, those are the Catholics. They think they're the only ones here. So the question I think Jesus challenges us today, do we want a God who is fair or a God who is generous? For me, I'm just glad that God is good all the time, and that all the time, God is good. Amen. So let's join together then in confessing our faith. I believe in one God,
the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, all things visible and invisible. I believe in one God, Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of his Holy Spirit, was incarnate with the Virgin Mary, and became man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. He rose again on the third day, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come in glory
to judge the living and the dead,
and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who is spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Since God is so good to us, we can be confident then that we can turn to the Lord today and every day as we present our prayers and petitions.
For the church, that we may strive always to conduct ourselves in a way worthy of the gospel of Christ, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For political leaders at every level, that they may be compassionate to those who are most vulnerable, to those who have been overlooked or forgotten, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For those who work in fields, on farms, and in vineyards, harvesting the food we eat, that we may be rewarded generously for their labor, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For our Jewish friends and neighbors who are celebrating Rosh Hashanah, the new year ends today, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That our parish community may invite and welcome others at all times with the generosity modeled by the landowner in today's gospel, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the people of St. James, who this Mass is offered, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the prayers that we hold quietly in our hearts, for those named in the book of prayers, and for those who need those in our parish and our community who need prayer, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Hear all these prayers, Heavenly Father. We make them in the holy name of Jesus, our Lord, who lives and reigns forever and ever.
Amen.
Thank you.
Let us pray that our sacrifice will be acceptable to God, our Almighty Father.
May the Lord accept the sacrifice at your hands for the praise and glory of God's name, for our good and good of all the Holy Church.
Receive with favor, O Lord, we pray, the offerings of your people, that what we profess with devotion and faith may be ours through these heavenly mysteries. Through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
And let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right and just.
It is truly right and just that we should give you thanks and praise, O God, Almighty Father, for all you do in this world through Jesus. For though the human race is divided by dissension and discord, you know that by testing us, you change our hearts to prepare us for reconciliation. Even more, by your Spirit, you move human hearts so that enemies may speak to each other again, adversaries join hands, and peoples seek to meet together. By the working of your power, it comes about, O Lord, that hatred is overcome by love, revenge gives way to forgiveness, and discord is changed to mutual respect. Therefore, as we give you ceaseless thanks with the choirs of heaven, we cry out to your majesty on earth, and without end, we acclaim. For Almighty God, we bless through Jesus, your Son, who comes in your name. He is the Word that brings salvation. He is the hand you stretch out to sinners. He is the way by which your peace is offered to us. When we had turned away from you on account of our sin, you brought us back to be reconciled, O Lord, so that converted at last to you, we might love one another through your Son, whom for our sake you handed over to death. And now, celebrating the reconciliation Christ has brought us, we entreat you, sanctify these gifts by the outpouring of your Spirit, and let them become the body and blood of your Son, whose command we fulfill when we celebrate these mysteries. For when he was about to give his life to set us free, as he reclined at supper, and he took bread into his hands, and giving you thanks, he said a blessing, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, that same evening, he took the chalice of blessing in his hands. Confessing your mercy, he gave the chalice to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, drink from it, for this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in memory of me." The mystery of faith.
When we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim your death, O Lord, until you come.
Celebrating, therefore, the memorial of the life, death, and resurrection of your Son, who left us this pledge of his love, we offer you what you have bestowed on us, the sacrifice of perfect reconciliation. Holy Father, we humbly beseech you, accept us together with your Son, and in this saving banquet, graciously endow us with his very Spirit, who takes away everything that estranges us from one another. May he make your church a sign of unity and an instrument of peace among all people. May he keep us in a communion of heart and mind with Pope Francis, Cardinal Blaise, and all those you have called to yourself. Just as you have gathered us now around the table of your Son, so also bring us together with the glorious Virgin Mary, Mother of God, her husband, Saint Joseph, the blessed Apostle, Saint James, and all our brothers and sisters, those of every race and tongue who have died in your friendship. Bring us to share with them the unending banquet of unity in a new heaven and a new earth, where the fullness of your peace will shine forth in Christ Jesus, who gives us every good gift. Through him and with him and in him, O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever. The Savior's command, and formed by divine teaching, we dare to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us, and lead us not into temptation. Deliver
us, Lord, we pray, from every evil, and graciously grant peace in our day, that by the help of your mercy we may be always free from sin, safe from all distress, as we await the blessed hope, the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ.
The kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever.
Lord Jesus, you said to your apostles, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give you. Look not on our sin, but on the faith of your church. And graciously grant us peace and unity in accordance with your will, who live and reign forever and ever. Amen. And may the peace of Jesus be with you always. And we give each other the wave of peace.
You take away the sins of the world.
Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sin of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb.
Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof, but only say the word, and my soul shall be healed.
May the body and blood of Christ keep us safe for eternal life. The prayer for spiritual communion. My Jesus, I believe that you are present in the most holy sacrament. I love you above all things, and I desire to receive you into my soul. Come spiritually into my heart. I embrace you and unite myself wholly to you. Never permit me to be separated from you. Amen. Amen. In order to keep social distancing, we'd ask that you honor the instructions of our ushers. They will lead you to a spot on the floor where it says sanitize your hands. At that point, you will have your hands sanitized. Then step forward. If you can receive a communion from me, and then you can step over to the left side where there's a little mark on the floor. It says remove and replace your mask. There you can consume the host. And you can follow the arrows back to your seat.
Christ has no body now but yours, no hands but yours. Yours is the work to serve with the joy of compassion. Has nobody now but yours, no hands but yours. Here on this earth, yours is the world to serve with the joy of compassion. No hands but yours to heal the wounded world, no hands but yours. Touch but yours to bind the broken hope of the people of God. Christ has nobody now but yours, no hands but yours. Here on this earth, yours is the world to serve. Joy of compassion. No eyes but yours to see as Christ would see, to find the lost, to gaze with compassion. No eyes but yours to glimpse the holy joy of the city of God. Christ has nobody now but yours, no hands but yours. Here on this earth, yours is the world to serve with the joy of compassion. No feet but yours to journey with the poor, to walk this world with mercy and justice. Yours are the steps to build a lasting peace for the children of God. Christ has nobody now but yours, no hands but yours. Serve with the joy of compassion.
has nobody now but yours. No hands but yours. Here on this earth, yours is the world to serve with the joy of compassion.
Let us pray. Graciously raise up, O Lord, those you renew with this sacrament, that we may come to possess your redemption, both in mystery and in the manner of our life, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Just a reminder, the funeral will be on Friday. Unfortunately, well, fortunately, it's a large family, so they won't be able to have many of us who would like to support Renee and Kathy and Jackie and Diana. So the funeral will be live streams if you'd like to participate in that way, even though we can't attend. This is the third Sunday of the month, and we always have some donations coming into the food pantry. So if you're bored, you can go to the food pantry immediately afterwards and help unload some of those donations today. And yes, please go online and register for the retreat, the parish retreat. It should be a very helpful experience to get us through these very difficult days, reflecting together on how God can make a way out of no way. So the Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
God's blessing upon us all, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Let us go in peace and live the gospel.
Thanks be to God.
Joe.